The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 11th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me, the door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if a child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
The earliest prayers I remember praying are bedtime prayers with my mother. "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. God bless Mama, Dada, and Kathy, and Grandma, and Grandpa, and Nana, and Papa, and my friend Bryant. Amen." And then there were those mealtime prayers that we prayed. Nothing fun like the Superman prayer that we did this week in VBS, but maybe something a little more simple. "Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these gifts to us be blessed. Amen." I learned about praying at the feet of my mother. We watched religious programming on TV when I was little, the PTL Club and other programs where they were always praying out loud, oftentimes very emotionally. And I saw my mother in personal prayer at all times and places, with people and on her own. And it was from watching her and my father, from going to worship and children's education at our church, St. Mark's Lutheran in Charlotte, North Carolina, and listening and participating in the prayers there from the time that I could fold my hands and bow my head. It is from all of those that I learned something about how to pray. And to my young mind, it was remarkably like talking to someone you knew, maybe a parent or other adult, someone with power and authority, someone who you respected, maybe were just a little bit frightened of, but who was also kindly and approachable. Now, the how was pretty straightforward. You said their name to get their attention so that they knew that you were talking to them and not to somebody else. You told them what you wanted to convey or ask them. "Could you help my sister feel a little bit better? Could you comfort my friend whose sister just died? Could you keep my family safe? Could you help the starving children of the world?" Then maybe you put in something for yourself. Then you said thank you and goodbye. And while I learned a lot about prayer and how to do it from my mother and my early and often experiences in childhood, the reality is what I most learned through those experiences is who God is. God was someone my mother went to when she was troubled or hurting. Wow. To my young mind, God must be pretty important and powerful for mom to go to for help. God would listen to anything you say or ask. And at the very least, God would make you feel better, even if the thing bothering you didn't magically go away. Kind of like mom's kiss would make that scraped knee feel better. God might even respond to your prayer in a way you could not even imagine. The text we have today from the Gospel of Luke really mixes up four different vignettes. And they can be somewhat confusing and challenging to read. But I wonder if the most important thing about them, what ties them together, is what they teach us about who God is. For more than anything, prayer is about being in relationship with God, being invited into personal communion with the divine. As writer Annie Lamott puts it, prayer means that in some unique way, we believe we're invited into a relationship with someone who hears us when we speak in silence. Prayer is that intimate connection and conversation with the divine, with all the intimacy and exchange that happens with honest communication. So what is the character of the God to whom we pray? Is God like a divine Santa Claus dispensing gifts to those who are good? Is God a stickler for the rules, only answering prayers that are prayed in the right way by the right people? Is God a fickle ruler, granting petitions or dispensing pain based on God's whims? The disciples, like me, with my mother, have learned about prayer by watching. And for them, they've watched Jesus over time. And especially in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus' prayer life is active. Jesus is connected with prayer in this scripture 9 different times, more than any other of the synoptic Gospels. The disciples have seen Jesus pray before and after big events, like his baptism. They see him take time from his busy schedule to go apart and pray somewhere. And they've seen how this has helped Jesus and his ministry. They've also heard Jesus talk about God as his Abba, his Father, Daddy. And that particular thing may have made them rather curious, and maybe given them a bit of pause. See, in the Greco-Roman world of the time, a father was absolute lord of the family. And because of that, that means it might not always work out so well for me as child of that father. The father would decide everything you would and could do and be from birth until the death of one of you. Whether you would be allowed to live or exposed to die, whether you would be raised in the family or apart from it, whether you would be married off for land or power, what work you would do in your life, whether you would be educated or not. Even into your adulthood, your father was the final decider about your life, where you lived, what deals that you made, if you were in business, who you associated with, often regardless of your thoughts and feelings. So this obviously colored people's understandings when they heard the word father. Father was a figure of authority, almost an authoritarian in power and influence on your life, one who told you what to do. The disciples asked Jesus to teach them something of what he knows about praying. And the question shows that what they're wanting is something that makes them unique and distinctive, kind of like the way John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray. And so what they're asking for, you ought to think of something along the lines of a unique chant, like you have for a football team or a soccer team, right? That chant that you know always means, ah, they belong to that team. That's what they want. Something that will make them stand out as followers of Jesus. And what Jesus teaches them lays the foundation for our Lord's Prayer, something that does make us distinct. But what is most important is that the picture Jesus draws of God is much more intimate than ones that had existed before. And it also clarifies what Jesus means when he calls God Abba, Father. What we see in the text is a God who is indeed holy, sacred, who provides the basics of what we need every day, who forgives, who protects. Jesus even makes the point that even the harsh father figure of the day won't give their child a snake instead of a fish or a scorpion instead of an egg. And if that's so, how much more then will Jesus' Father give only good things when we ask? Indeed, the very best of things, which is the Holy Spirit. We see in this portrait an image of God as one who wants to be in relationship, to share our hopes and our dreams and our fears, who desires and invites us to ask, to search, to knock, to approach God again and again and again and again. This is a God who has an open door policy, 24/7, who wants, desires deeply to hear from us. And most importantly, Jesus encourages his disciples to pray, calling God Abba, Father. And now we know that this image of Father is nothing like the popular imagination. This is a Father who desires to hear from us, who desires to give us only good things, who responds to our requests and needs. And we know that this God loves us, desires to be intimately connected to us as well, enough to invite us to invoke that familial relationship, Abba, Father. So through our prayer, personal and together, we encounter a God who is always available, who always listens, who always provides us enough for the next day, and who always gives us good gifts. Now, there are parts of this text we've read today that can be difficult. We can read the section inviting us to ask, search, and knock as one that promises we will get whatever we ask for. Those who preach the prosperity gospel believe this. Just ask God for good things, believe that it is so, and it will happen. And yet I'm sure all of us have on occasion to know that this is not true. We have asked for things, good things for other people, and they have not happened. Now, we could sometimes reasonably explain why this is so. I've done it myself, but I wonder if the better thing is to let God defend God's self and focus on the point of the text, to what we know as the witness of Scripture and of Jesus, God's own Son, that God is the one whom you keep coming back to time and again, and God will listen. God is the one you can hold to account for what God says. That's what Abraham is doing in the reading we had from Genesis this morning. Far be it from you to slay the righteous and the wicked. That's not who you are, God. You are gracious and merciful. Look at the Psalms. Time and again, these prayers, because that's what these songs are the prayers of their authors. These prayers call on God and hold God to account for what God is and says God will do. You'll hear Psalms say something to the effect of, "Hey God, this is who you said that you are. Well, get on with it. You said you would protect your people. Guess what? Need a little protection here." What does it say about our God that we can speak to God this way and still God promises to listen, to hear, to act, to be faithful to us? What does it say that our God is one you can wrestle with, like Jacob by the river? What does it mean that our God listens and responds to Job's complaints? What would it be like to pray to God with that image of God in your head? How would it shape how you pray? How would it shape how often you pray? Prayer is a simple and powerful thing, brothers and sisters. Perhaps one of the best faith practices that we can participate in. One that we can do at any time, in any place, and as we talked about this week, in any posture. One that as parents and adults of faith, we model for the children around us. One that shapes us, brings us into a better understanding of who God is. I pray that each of you would experience that kind of communion with God in prayer on a regular basis. I pray that you would know the joy and comfort of calling God Abba, Daddy, and have your own mental and emotional picture of what that means. I pray that we would all be shaped by that prayer more and more into the image of our Lord. I pray. Amen.